Thank you for that worship this morning. How's everyone doing today? Today is Father's Day. It's a day to celebrate fathers. I wish all men who are here, just in fathers and father figures, a special Father's Day greeting. We're on this series, What Would Jesus Do? And it's been all about aligning our lives with the lives of Jesus. My message title today is A Father's Call. Jesus is God's Son, and God the Father asked Jesus to do specific things throughout his ministry. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for this Sunday and this day, Father. I'd ask that you would open up our ears and our hearts to hear your word today, Father. We ask this in your name. Amen. Today I want to pull out a couple points God called Jesus to do. Furthermore, I want to present them as things we should be putting into practice in our own lives. God is a father to all of us. Doesn't matter who you are. We have earthly fathers, but also we have God as a father. He's not just Jesus' father. Jesus listened to his father's will. The goal of Jesus was always to do the will of his father. We see that in John chapter 5, verse 30. I can do myself, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Apart from God, we can do nothing. You hear that? Nothing on our own. Like Jesus, we are asked to seek the will of God, the Father. And my first point is, we are called to listen. Jesus knew the importance of listening to God. So often we struggle to know the will of God in our lives. We have all these questions. We question everything. We question if God answers prayer. We question if God can still do miracles. God can heal people. We question why God allows bad things to happen to good people. We question, and we question, and we question. The problem is, with all our questioning, we rarely take the time to stop and to listen to God, to hear the answers. Jesus often took time to withdraw, to seek the will of his Father. With all of our scheduling and our entertainment and the busyness that life throws at us, we often neglect taking the time just to listen to God. Spend some time in silence. How often do you pray? And when you pray, do you simply ask God and talk and then say amen? Prayer is designed to be a two-way street. I encourage you to take the time to wait on God. Allow God through the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. One way God often speaks to me is through his word, the Bible. The Bible is relevant today. It's relevant right now. It can speak to you in any moment of your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at. Even no matter how your heart's feeling or what you believe, the word is for you and it can speak to you in this moment. Many of the questions you will have will be answered through reading the scripture. Once we begin to listen, it will give us direction and tools to deal with struggles in our lives. And listening will naturally lead to action. This brings me to my next point. We are called to obey. I often speak into the lives of my children. You know, I want to warn them about dangers. I encourage them to do well. I teach them how to overcome complicated problems and how to excel at things they are interested in. I remind my children of what their gifts are. I spend quite a bit of time speaking into the lives of my children. I believe it's important. Nothing gives me more joy when my child listens and then proceeds to act on what I just said to do. Obedience for my children brings me joy. On the flip side, nothing drives me more up the wall than when I'm speaking to my children and they choose to do the exact opposite of what I've asked them to do. And I'll say, don't touch, and they touch. I say, don't jump, and they jump. I say, don't put that in your mouth. And then before you know it, you're taking a trip to the emergency room. God as the Father is the same. Obedience pleases God. If we choose to be obedient to God, then he will bless us. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. And that I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. You see, there is a direct correlation between obeying God and being blessed by God. God wants to bless us. It's his desire. But by listening, obeying, that blessing can be poured out into our life. To put it in another way, Obeying God opens the door to the blessings God wants to pour out into your life. Make no mistake, God does long to bless you. His love for you is so great, and God has the power to do all things, and He wants to work all things together for the good, according to His purposes. Obey God, follow what He says in His Word, and follow what He asks you to do. When you spend that time in prayer with Him, and He speaks to you in a still, quiet meeting place, in the depths of your heart, obey and be blessed. The third way we follow is the example of Jesus, is in regards to the Father's will, is we are called to love, perhaps the most important. God is love, so it is no surprise that while Jesus was on this earth, He exemplified love continually. Every single interaction Jesus had while He was on this earth with the people around Him came from a place of love. Even when He would rebuke the Pharisees and throw the smack down on them, it was all done out of love. It was done out of love because Jesus was trying to save their eternal soul. Jesus chose to hang out with the least of these. He didn't hang out with the rich and the people who had it together. No, He hung with the poor and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the cheaters and the sinners. See, no sin is too great to be covered by the love of God. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how you've been brought up, no matter what you're doing right now, any sin can be covered by the love of God. God is love, and we only feel and act and have any knowledge of love because of who God is. The stronger our relationship is with God, the more our capacity to love. Jesus was once asked, which commandment was the greatest? Jesus answered, first, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is what sets us apart from other religions. Love is what separates us apart from the world and its carnal nature. And love is what will unite us in relationship with God. And love is what unites us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not our background, it's not our class standing, and it's not the level of education we have. It's not the color of our skin, and it's not our lifestyle choices, but it is the love of Jesus that sets us apart as Christians. Love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Without love, we are nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. The reason we need to love is because it is a powerful motivator. Without love, all of our actions, they're pointless. God is always looking at our heart. He knows when we are being sincere. He can see the truth. There's no greater way to reach people for Jesus than through our love. Love finds us, love changes us, and love unites us. Another thing about love is love, true love, is sacrifice. Love is not self-serving. We have love to offer to others, and it should come with no strings attached, no conditions. The Bible calls this unconditional love. Marriages work best when two people come into a relationship and are doing everything possible to lift up the other person, putting the needs of the other person and their desires of their partner ahead of their own. If you are looking out for your spouse 100% and your spouse is looking out for you 100%, you have it made. You're taken care of. Unfortunately, all too often, this is not the case. And marriages fall apart when we begin to have this selfish attitude and just looking at putting ourselves first. Same is true in a church family. The members of the church are there to help everyone out around them succeed and bless those around them, then that's a healthy and thriving church. As a church, we need to buy into this. We're getting close to being able to meet together in person again at our church building. I encourage you not just to attend, but to get involved. Volunteer more. Take part in outreach programs more. Give more of your time. Give more of your money. By doing this, you're showing the church love. It's got to be a sacrifice. The church is the bride of Christ, and we are to love her. And if love is sacrifice, then we need to be giving more of ourselves. Even more. Every day. Don't tell yourself someone else will do it. That's a pitfall. We are called to the Great Commission. Every single one of us, everyone watching this today, everyone in the world is called to making biblical disciples. Love is sacrifice. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice by giving his life that we may be saved, that our souls would not perish so we could have eternity with God. God made the ultimate sacrifice. He loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son to die so we could live. Today is Father's Day. And as a father myself, the thought of offering my son as a sacrifice, that's unbearable. It's one of my greatest fears, is losing a child. But God understands. He knows loss firsthand. I would like just to close with the words of a song that I hold dear. It's a song that speaks of love as sacrifice and to the unconditional, perfect love of God. The words go like this. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measures, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turns his face away. Couldn't even look. Couldn't even bear to watch his son go through the pain and the struggle of hanging on a cross. As wounds which mar, the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. It's our sin. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there. Your sin, our sin, kept him on that cross until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. It's over. The work's been done. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. We need to be speaking about this more. We need to be going out there and saying what Jesus did. We need to be an example of that sacrificial love to those around us. And the song finishes, why should I gain from his reward? Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. This I know with all my heart, that his wounds have paid my ransom. This is love. This is sacrificial love. Jesus died so we can live, took our place. The series, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? It could just as easily be called, What Did Jesus Do? What did Jesus do? Jesus gave his life so we could live. He gave his life so we could spend an eternity with him. He gave his life so our sins could be forgiven. And we would not have to suffer the consequences of our sin. 1 John 3:16, the other John 3:16, it says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. And then it says, so we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. You know, in a world where we're looking to get ahead and step on those around us, where we're looking to take advantage of the people around us, the Bible says that we're to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Truly hold everyone around us above ourselves. Just humble yourself. That is it in a nutshell. Because Jesus did it, we should be willing to do the same for the people around us. It's all about reaching out, putting others before ourselves. Answer the call. The call to listen, the call to obey, and finally, the call to love. Will you answer the call today? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I just pray that it would keep into our hearts, into our minds, Father. Penetrate deep into our souls and truly change us. I just want to pray for anyone today who hasn't answered that first call, the call to enter into a relationship with Jesus, to give their life to them. If that's you, I just encourage you to say this prayer with me today. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that you're the only way I can have the sin taken out of my life. Jesus, I ask you into my heart, and Jesus, I make you Lord over my life. I choose to be obedient to you and to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you so much for seeing me. Thank you for your unconditional love. Amen. And amen. If you said that prayer today for the first time, I encourage you just to click that button at the bottom that says raise a hand. And I also encourage you to, you know, phone the number. Phone the number if you gave your life to Jesus. It's so important to make that step out in faith and share it with someone. And also, if you're struggling with anything today, I encourage you to pray. We're here to help you. And as you listen to these messages and as you're being filled, you know, it doesn't just stop there. I want you to take what you have been fed and been filled up with and share it to others. Go out into the world and share it with the lost. And remember, the vision of City Light Church is to reach people for Jesus, one person at a time.